I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Real spoilers powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 524, the not necessarily the box office report for the week ending November 10th, 2019. So there.
Booyah.
Yes. So I guess, let's just go around the table. Everybody can introduce themselves.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. If my mic stand will continue to.
Do we get that Blue Chew?
Yeah, I need to get some Cialis for this thing. So did I say my name?
I don't know.
I don't know. If I didn't, this is Tom.
I think they know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You never know. That's they could true. Be a new listener.
Every comic this book could, is somebody's first comic
this
book.
This could be the week we get a new listener.
That's right.
This could be the year we get a new listener.
Yes. Woohoo. So, I don't know. Shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, blah, blah, blah. I found out the other day that that putting your podcast on Google Play does not put your podcast on Google Podcast.
Oh.
What?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So,
have we not been on Google?
Apparently not.
Oh, well, okay.
That shows you how much people use Google Podcast.
Yeah, right.
But
No one said, we can't find you on Google Podcast.
Right. No one. But, I noticed that the other day.
Well, ta-da.
We were doing some stuff with the other podcast and trying to... And
the more profitable one.
Yeah.
it's nice to know that we can at least get something out of you concentrating on the other podcast. Like, you're doing this all wrong. Yeah, oh, really? Yeah. Tell me more.
So, whoops. But, yeah, so... It's the little embed player had all the links, and so you're, and then the links like the for the Google Podcast didn't work because we're not on there. Just like, well, what the hell?
All
of a sudden, we get 15,000 new subscribers.
Blue Chew comes to us.
Everyone had just waiting.
Well, yeah, we'll just be so sponsors. We'll just be we'll be putting stamps on envelopes with our massively erect penises from Blue Chew.
That's right. Yeah. With MailChimp.
Yes.
Yeah. Sending our Blue Apron meals out with our stamps.
You keep my erection away from a chimp.
You do you, man. I don't judge.
So anyway, while you're at your internet delivery device, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And of course, you can check us out on Facebook, facebook.com/realspoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group, and share an episode. Become an official member of the League of Show Sharers. People who were kind enough to share the show this week: Librarian Cynthia, Linnea Thunsell, Susan Carlson, Chris Sanders, Zara Vandercreek, Travis Tewitt, Tom Comiskey, Brent Smith, Chris Magic Man, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Ron Johnson, Gabriel Lugo, Julianne Jordan, John Friedman, Griffin Fox Smith, Chris William, Douglas Bolduc.
Oh, that's a new
one. So welcome, Douglas.
Dan?
You don't know this, Douglas, because you're probably new, but when Dan was around, he'd sing you a special song. Brad Hyen, Ralph Tribble, Aaron Marlowe, Tammy Sherman Powers, Timmy Tuzoons, and Jason Weesey. So thank you very much, guys, for sharing the show and letting your friends know that we exist. So also, we have a Patreon account, patreon.com/realspoilers, where for $5 a month, you get all sorts of bonus content and the pride of knowing you're helping out a fledgling podcast. So
and there's some coming. We got Kevin and I recorded two of them.
Yeah,
so awesome. They're in the can and ready to go.
Awesome. Well,
that second one's a doozy.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I know how much you guys like a doozy in your can, so
let me tell you.
There we go.
There it is. The longest hour and a half of my life.
Oh. They make you watch? Do you make you watch a musical?
No.
You do an episode
of
like
a musical.
Sound of Music or something?
No.
You think Grease? Sound of Great Music is an hour and a half?
South Pacific?
Oh, yeah, well, that sounds short for sure.
Your episode would...
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't...
This was a watch-along.
Yeah, we did a commentary.
We did a commentary track for an hour and a half that felt like it went 4 hours.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's all that. Do we have news?
Sure. I mean, yeah, Batman. That's really, at this point in the news...
Better than Scorsese for cinema.
Yeah, that's true. So, just some casting. They cast Matthew McConaughey as Harvey Dent. They never said Two-Face, so that leads me to believe that he is not going to be Two-Face.
That's good. They're not packing more villains into this. I'm happy to hear that. They're building the world, but they're not...
They're, like, laying the groundwork for there to be a Two-Face later.
Yes.
Which is how you should do it.
Just like the original Batman. Right. I mean, it was great to see Harvey Dent in there, right?
Oh, sure. I don't know. I didn't mind the way that they did it in The Dark Knight.
Well, but there weren't 20 other villains in that
right
movie.
That's true.
You hear all this casting and it's like, oh my god. But they're just casting the people as opposed to the villains,
right?
Like they're so I like
right.
that
I like building the world around them. Yeah. And then it was Andy Serkis, I think, is in the running for Alfred.
Mm-hmm.
Which I was like, okay, yeah. I'm sure. Like I at some point I
and
do
he's
kind
of motion capture a Michael Goff or
the guy
he's probably like so mad that he has all these huge roles in these major nerd movies.
Right.
But nobody wants to pay for a picture with him at Wizard World.
Oh, really?
Well, but I mean, you don't know what he looks like.
Oh, I guess that's true.
Right?
Like, Who are you?
Right. Like, oh,
Claw.
You're...
Yeah, Claw. Right. I feel like he kind of looks like Gollum.
Like you're Spiegel and you're King Kong and you're Planet of the
King
Apes.
Kong?
I think he was one of them. Oh. Wasn't he in the King Kong and the Peter Jackson one?
King Kong and Planet of the Apes. Oh, and in Planet. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. I think you're crossing. Yeah.
Give me that movie where Kong shows up in Planet of the Apes.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe he. I
thought he was in the Peter Jackson movie.
Okay.
It's very possible. He has motion captured a lot of creatures. And
yeah, he's not. He's Bagheera.
Oh, that's exactly what I went to.
But it's like at some point, I do kind of want a comic book accurate Alfred.
Which comic book?
All of them. He always looks the same. He's always got like the pencil mustache and the bald.
Not when he's a badass Marine
whatever. You never see that version of the. Nobody thinks of that version of the character.
Well,
they think of.
I know.
Pencil.
Just,
I want the pencil mustache, going bald.
Well, there you go.
That kind of like the traditional looking Alfred.
Right.
But we don't get that ever.
Yeah.
Never. No, but none of these Alfreds have ever had a mustache.
I hope he's motion capturing the Alfred from Batman, the animated series.
Oh, sure.
And it's just an animated perfect recreation.
It is
that.
Weird, though. Like,
I hope that he motion captures King Kong
as Alfred.
As Alfred.
But just totally like King Kong is the actor. You're not supposed to see
and
King
then,
Kong.
Spoiler, his half-brother, Gorilla Grodd.
Done. Sign me up.
It writes itself.
It does write itself.
Yeah.
Slash pick.
Yeah, right. Was he King Kong?
He was.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then...
don't ever question me again.
I didn't question you. I just didn't think that it was true. he's half her age in reverse.
Oh, my God. There's a great quote, and we have to somehow bring it up. I mean, it hasn't aired yet, so I don't... Well, by the time this posts, it should be out there. But Joe came up with... For you Patreon listeners, you are in for a treat. There's a moment of revelation when Joe comes up with this phrase because he can't find the words for a very simple... human language
in
type
my
thing
defense,
to say.
I recorded 3 hours of podcasting.
But still, he couldn't find these very simple words to describe something super simple, and so he went about this complex way of explaining it, and it became
story of my life.
It became this amazing quote, so I'm not going to spoil it here, but we may have to use it in the future.
yeah, and then Colin Farrell as the Penguin, which is the most interesting of all of the casting. To come out of that whole thing, because that
has he let himself go?
I don't think so. I mean, I just saw the trailer for the new Guy Ritchie movie, and he looks like Colin Farrell.
But Penguin in Gotham is a skinny.
I guess
kid,
that's true.
So it's like I guess they're gonna go more of a. They're not gonna make him necessarily be waddling and round like a penguin. Yeah, they're just going to.
But he's also, I guess he, I don't know how tall Colin, it doesn't matter. But that was just like, that was the one where I was like, huh, that's weird. Yeah. All right. Like, I mean, if they're saying that Colin, if like the penguin is like the owner of the Iceberg Lounge mm-hmm. and doesn't really like has like maybe Batman goes to deal with him because he needs information. I can deal with that.
Yeah, he's there, but he's not a main focus of the story. Yeah, I love the world building that they're going to have set up these things that, like in the comics, you know, these different things they do when they're not, you know, Batman does go and interrogate or go check out a minor thing, but he's not chasing them down.
Right.
I think that's what they're doing. It sounds really cool. And it's a huge cast. Yeah.
And it's not, it doesn't look like it's stopping anytime soon.
Well, they're going to Condiment King. Like, what else are they going to?
King Tut. They're going to get Egghead. They're going to do
Egghead.
Oh, man. That could be really good. Doctor's ass.
It would go one of two ways.
It really
there would be no middle ground if you did the ventriloquist. Yeah.
Mr. Zazz. That'd be kind of.
But I think they're just going to do CG. They'll just bring Vincent Price.
That's what I said. They'll get a guy that, you know, do the body, but they'll CG Vincent Price's face on him.
It's a great cast. I can't wait to be disappointed by it.
No. You weren't disappointed by Nolan, were you?
No.
So it's not but this is Matt Reeves, and he's a capable director. So you know that when in the right hands, these DC movies can be good. So I don't.
It's just been a cup of coffee.
It's been a long time.
Since they've done Joker. I mean, Joker was good, but that was, you know. I mean, I think they're going. It looks like they're going to build on it, but like the original plan was not to,
right?
You know,
and then it made $1 billion,
right?
And they were like,
the most profitable superhero movie of all time.
So speaking of our next, that was a great segue. Yeah,
that's what I do.
Officially. Uh-huh. So uh-huh. Joker is
that's why the other podcast is so successful.
So Joker after this past week is up to $955 million. They said it's sure to hit $1 billion, and
I don't know how it can.
It's like a micro budget. I mean, for a superhero movie, what was it, 40? I think
that was 60.
It's either 40 or 60, but for a DC Comics movie, and now it's going to hit $1 billion.
That's
worldwide.
Insane.
So,
and it's like people are just like, well, it's the MCU killer. I was like, nope.
Yeah, it's different. It's a completely different.
You get one when Marvel's like, oh, we're going to put out four of them, and they're all going to make over $1 billion.
Yeah, that's silly to think that, but I think it's interesting if they start applying this, and I don't want cheap imitations, but for them to maybe explore different characters in a way that doesn't make them super like comic booky, to make them maybe more grounded.
Budget was 55 to 70, according to Wikipedia, but still for a superhero movie, a comic book movie.
What was the budget for Ant-Man? I feel like that's the one that may have had like the lowest budget.
It was still like 100.
I think it was like 125.
120. I want to say like 120.
I feel like that would be the one that had the lowest budget,
but it didn't get the multiplier.
Oh no,
so this is like a 20 times multiplier.
Wikipedia lists it with a range of 130 to 170.
Jeez.
Oh my gosh. The original or the second?
The original.
Oh my.
Man.
Yeah, that's.
Oh, but they had to do a lot of reshoots on that.
Oh, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like,
they did.
Oh, because of all the directors changing?
Yeah, so that could have been.
That's true, because tonally, I guess it wasn't.
It was a Simon. It was an Edgar Wright.
There were so many people, and then it was
Adam McKay.
Adam McKay, and now Peyton Reed, and he's coming back for three. So that's. I mean,
he deserves it.
He's handled those movies well. I think Ant-Man and the Wasp. Like, I like the original Ant-Man, but I think Ant-Man and the Wasp is better.
I like them. I think those are both. It's not a Thor the Dark World situation.
No, I think they did interesting things with Ant-Man and the Wasp, the way they expanded it and made the Wasp a main character. And I really like what they did. It was really funny. I mean, that end chase scene and everything with the shrinking and all that stuff. I think that it was really good, and I'm happy to have him back.
For sure. I'm sure he's just like, thank God.
What else?
You know, back to Joker real quick. Yeah. My concern about the success of Joker, which is deserved, and I liked the film, but is that it will confirm this notion for Warner Brothers that for their superheroes to work, they need to be dark and gritty.
Yep.
And I think it works here because
Batman.
Because it's appropriate.
Sure.
Right? You know, but
Superman's
you're
not
right,
dark and
it's
gritty.
It's going to be the Nolan thing all over
but
again.
I don't need a Joker version of Lex Luthor.
I don't even want a.
Don't need a Joker version of Superman.
Here's the thing. I think Lex Luthor can be sympathetic. I think that there is enough.
Luthor or Lex Luthor Jr.?
Lex Luthor.
I'm not even saying that you can't have a, a version where there's some degree of sympathy
for
what led to him becoming that.
Right.
But what I'm saying, but this really bleak, dark, gritty version. Like,
I agree.
I don't know that that works.
I like the idea of Lex as like the hero of Metropolis.
Yeah.
And all the adoration goes to him. And then all of a sudden, here comes this thing out of thin air. And everybody's like, screw Lex. Like, look at this guy. He can throw a planet. And Lex gets pissed off. Like, I can deal. I like that idea of a story.
He doesn't have to be a supervillain. Like, Lex Luthor can always be thinking he's doing the right thing.
Yeah.
But
you're rooting for Lex. You're like, mm-hmm. We're going to clean up Metropolis. We're going to do that. Maybe you even have him, Lois Lane. And I mean, there's a bit of a history in the comics of him and Lois kind of being a thing at one point. And then all of a sudden, everything's taken away from him, and he's like, F the big blue Boy Scout. Like, I'm taking him down however I have to.
Just as long as you work Jolly Ranchers into the script somehow.
I'm sure Jolly Ranchers are like, no. No, can you get, like, the off-brand? We don't want anything to do with that ever again.
happy cow guys.
They're like, is there a Reese's Pieces to our M&Ms that you could roll with?
Because please don't let it be us, whatever you do. But I think, I mean, when you look at, to your point, I think with the success of Watchmen as well, where it's just
it's on again tonight.
It
I'm
is,
so
and
excited.
It's just like, so what you're saying is like, Watchmen's not bright and happy, you know. Like it's also
that definitely works, and that
that's
right. I mean, you have to make the look of the movie should reflect
the character.
If it has a source material, you know, it should match that. If dark and gritty is what that character and that world calls for, then yes. But you're right, Tom. When the worst thing that could have happened was for this is Christopher Nolan's amazing trilogy, and then it worked so well, and it was Batman, and it was dark and gritty,
right?
And so they said, "Oh, dark and gritty. That's what people want." But it's like, no, that's what people want in a Batman movie,
right?
And they missed the mark, and then everything became dark. Superman became dark, and it's like, no,
spy movies can be fun, but what I want from James Bond isn't what I want from Austin Powers.
Correct.
Well, yes.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'll take some jokes. I'll take some quips and one-liners, but he better start like punching people in the throat. And I don't.
Right.
There's never a point unless he's fighting the last bad guy where I feel like James Bond should be in danger.
Yeah.
He should be able to take everybody out without thinking about it until he gets the bad guy, like Dave Bautista.
I'm excited to see what happens with this Cary Fukunawa, James
Bond. I don't think Cary Fukunawa, he doesn't get the not the respect, but that dude's a talented filmmaker.
Yeah.
And
so
I think he co-wrote and directed the first season of True Detective.
Right.
And then he developed hit a version of it, and then that got kind of spun off into the Andy Muschietti version.
So I'm saying, like, what is Cary Fukunawa?
There's something
actually
else in there. He's done something else that was like kind of like an indie flick that I feel like was like good, but not raised to the level of breaking out of like that indie market.
Yeah, because I mean, when it comes to True Detective and him, his work and on it and developing that, because obviously those films were great.
Sure.
And so I think he is definitely talented. I just don't know. Like, to me, he doesn't have that proven of a track record in film yet.
No,
but
I think
the
you're
stuff
right.
he has done has been really good. So I'm excited to see what him getting a huge franchise like James Bond, how that.
I feel like if kind of like with Dr. Sleep, where it could be Mike Flanagan's breakout, like, oh, this guy's a force. I feel like if Bond, what's it called?
27.
Whatever number it is, like if it works and he's taken over after from Sam Mendes, who was like not an easy.
Isn't it called No Time to Die?
Oh, that's it. Yeah. Who's not an easy act to follow given the last four. Did he do the last four?
He's
Royale,
done all
Quantum
the
Solace. Spectre.
No, he didn't do Casino Royale, right?
He didn't?
Casino Royale was, I'm blanking.
Martin Campbell?
Yes, thank
okay.
you.
And then, but Sam Mendes did the other ones after that.
So he did three, I guess.
And that's not an easy track, easy.
He did,
easy
I think Sam Mendes' first one actually was Skyfall, and everyone thought that was so amazing, and then he did the next, so I'm going to say he's done two.
Okay, okay.
This,
really? I thought he did Quantum Solace.
I don't think so. I think that was Martin Campbell. It's been years, and sorry, I'm not prepared to talk about James Bond directors, but I'm pretty sure that it was Martin Campbell, and then Sam Mendes came on for Skyfall, and that's when everyone was like, ooh.
Because Quantum of Solace was not good.
Mark Forster.
Did too?
Did
Quantum
of
Solace?
Yeah. Oh, so they just went to another Mark.
Because that one is not good.
Martin. Sorry.
That one's brutal. But there was a writer's strike in the middle.
Yeah.
But
that's brutal.
And that movie is awful.
It's not good. It's probably the worst of the James Bond movies.
I mean, it might be.
I would watch.
I haven't seen them all. I'm not a big James Bond guy, but like
That's bad.
That was a snooze.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I would watch On Her Majesty's Secret Service before I watch that.
Yeah.
And that's not even the worst.
I didn't hate it, but
Never Say Never Again.
Ooh, that's a bad... Man, I struggle with even calling that a James Bond movie. I mean, it is.
It is.
But it's like, it's one of those weird ones that came out. It's technically the last Connery one, but yeah. They were like, we got to bring him back, so we're going to put two out at the same time.
Is that when he's in that mankini on the beach? Which one's...
Oh, no. I feel like that's Dr. No.
Is it?
But that's when he was in shape.
Yeah.
Like, right. It just was interesting. I mean, try to...
But they do that...
Try to go put that on
today,
Joe.
They do that in Casino Royale. When yeah, David got, Daniel yeah. Craig walks out, and you're just like,
yeah,
Jesus.
But he definitely... I mean, he's in, like, a Speedo, and he's ripped. Like,
yeah.
That's fine. I'm just...
Well, that was ripped when...
Yeah, when yeah, Sean Connery yeah. in 1960,
it's like when,
whatever.
It's like when you see, like, the hot girls back in the 50s
right,
and 60s.
Change, sure.
They actually look like they might have eaten a meal that day.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Right. You know.
That's when everybody's like, well, Marilyn Monroe was, like, a size 10. And there's somebody once said to me, she goes... Yeah, but a size 10 in 1960 whatever is a size 4 now.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's fair.
Actually, I think it goes the other way. Like, they kept making the sizes.
They make a big deal. She's like a size 14
right.
or something, but that's not.
Yeah, they started making the smaller sizes bigger because women would be like, oh, I fit into a size 6. Yeah. Then I'll buy this.
I'll buy it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And the other movie you're trying to think of was he directed Beasts of No Nation.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
that was the Netflix one, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah,
there it
yeah,
is.
Yeah.
Then. Okay.
Yeah. And he also, one of his early movies was a Spanish language movie called Sin Hombre, which was really good.
Oh, yeah.
About people trying to, like, ride the trains, like illegal immigrants to sneak into the
Terminator
country.
Terminator Dark Fate.
I mean, honestly, when I saw it, that's the first thing I was like, oh, this is like Sin Hombre.
Yeah.
Like, it's all about them, you know, how they sneak into the country and
okay.
what they have to go through to do it. It's a good movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah. I forgot about that. I didn't, because at the time, I guess that was his first movie, you said?
I don't know if it's his first.
Early,
but,
okay.
No, it looks like it's his okay. first full-length film.
Because so. I didn't realize at the time, because I remember that film, and I didn't know him yet, and so I forgot that he was the director. So that's
same,
cool.
when I looked it up, I yeah. was like, oh, that was him?
Yeah.
Good
so,
for him.
Talented guy,
yeah.
certainly. So I'm excited, though, but to get a James Bond movie, and especially one surrounded with so much turmoil, this is the first one coming off. Daniel slit my wrist before I do another James
yeah.
Bond Craig's.
And, and that, like we said when he announced that, it's like the dude just finished the movie.
Yeah.
Like, I get being.
And it was a very
fatigued.
Dry British sense of humor.
Yes.
Right? He was joking, but straight face.
He may not have been joking. Like, if.
He was, I mean.
I'm sure he was
him,
fed
he
up.
Was, he was joking, but he was doing it in a dry, very dry way.
Right.
And, I mean, he was serious about, like, I'm not ready to think about this,
yeah.
but he was not actually saying, I will kill.
No.
Clearly, he was not.
Yeah, he's
serious.
Back.
Yeah.
At least for one more.
Yeah.
I think this is his last one.
It'll be interesting. We'll see what they do.
Bring in Idris Elba.
So, anybody else have any other news? I think there were just
a
couple.
That's about it. It's been a slow week, which I'm okay with.
So, let me just look here. The Gerard Butler's Fallen franchise is getting 3 more movies.
Sure,
and
why
maybe
not?
Maybe a TV show. So, I guess they make plenty of money. According to MovieWeb.com,
ooh.
There's a new Justice League photo. They're still doing this.
Oh,
like,
God.
As the Release the Snyder Cut campaign rages on.
So there's a
rage. Well,
they're raging. Yeah,
but
I think that's a.
It's literally just a picture of Henry Cavill, like, getting ready to fly. Like, that's the extent. I think one picture is that. Another one is, like, Cyborg being reassembled. And it's like,
I mean, they're just keeping it alive. I mean, they're clearly.
It's,
I guess because Zack Snyder isn't involved in this anymore, so he's still trying to keep his name out there,
yeah.
keep fuel on the fire for fans and everything.
He's like, I made a Watchmen movie. That's popular now, right? That's
the
thing.
He's done a lot of stuff, but, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if this if they ever release something or
is
it
even done
ever goes away. Well, it's the special effects apparently aren't finished, but there is a cut. It's just not. Yeah,
I wonder if they were to finish the special effects and put it out digitally, what would it do?
Yeah, I wonder.
You know, like, don't waste the time
for
in the theater.
20 people
talking
about
this. That's
what
I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like, finish the special effects. Put it out digitally or as like a special edition. Don't put it in theaters because you're going to lose your ass on it in theaters. Just make it or even do like don't Warner Brothers have like the Warner Brothers archive where you can order
mm-hmm.
like
yeah.
don't they don't do like mass printings
they like print
of things.
To order
they print it to order
or do yeah. a Fathom event
yeah
that would probably do okay
that
but
would be
I
good.
Just
yeah
I but I also kind of feel like the longer it's people have kind of moved on
yeah
I mean clearly some people haven't
yeah
but
and
I think,
DC's moved on
yeah
they're just like whatever. So we gotta lock down JJ. That's really our main concern at this point.
It'll be like an extended deleted scene on a on a Joker Blu-ray.
Yeah.
The 10th anniversary.
Like the Joker needed any more reason to you know, rake in the cash.
But it's like, you know, I go over to Screen Rant, another movie news website, and their featured article is fan-made Justice League trailer is the heavy metal Snyder cut fans want. It's like, somehow, it's just like this thing. I mean, how many years ago? Three now for Justice? Four? It's like, how many? I can't believe they're still talking about this.
And how can a fan-made thing be the Snyder cut?
Right.
Apparently this heavy metal trailer that they cut is the tone that the fans want, I think is what they're trying to say. Like, this is
what
the
fans,
the ones that
the
are one, still
the
worried 1, about this
people,
movie.
Yeah,
yeah. And Justice League cut Darkseid actor calls for WB to release the Snyder cut. It's like these
Momoa
news
said it.
Did he?
Yeah. Like he posted a picture of him spearing Steppenwolf.
Yeah.
And it's the hashtag is release the Snyder cut.
Oh, is that Momoa? I saw that in one of these
Momoa
articles.
Posted
okay.
that.
It was a black and white.
Yeah. And it's just like, stop it.
It's like, I release the damn thing or.
They're not going to. They're going to sit up. I mean, and he's got something else coming out. He's got like another zombie movie.
Well, he's going back to zombies. That's
on Netflix with Batista.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So I think that's it for movie news, though.
Well, you had an interesting interaction to the theater this weekend, didn't you?
Oh, should I put that in this one?
Yeah, why not?
This jerk. So the
not me.
Well, no. So the
You are also a jerk.
Yeah,
no, but you're not the jerk
in this story. Yes.
Yeah.
So the St. Louis International Film Festival is in town, and that's no problem with that. And I'm working that, so it's going to be a very long 10 days, but lots of great films, a lot of stuff that hasn't been out in theaters yet. Like I saw Waves the other night, which is fantastic. That will definitely be getting Oscar buzz and attention. Let's see what else. The Marriage Story with Adam Driver and Scarlett Johansson.
Didn't realize that was a Netflix
was
movie.
Was amazing. It comes out December 2nd or December 4th. I think it's December 4th on Netflix. So I saw that a month early. It was at some film festivals previously as well. But oh my gosh, as someone that if you've been through a divorce or even people that have been through a relationship that has gone from the peak and the really great times to the contentious times.
Or a relationship.
Yeah, but it's like this movie is so relatable because you see the good times. I mean, like a lot of these good relationship dramas do, but you see the good times, you see flashbacks and them talking about the heights of the relationship.
This sounds eerily similar to the Bruce Willis movie, The Story of Us.
It might
be. Is that Michelle Pfeiffer?
I think that's who was the, and it was.
Yeah.
And it was the same premise of like.
It is kind of the.
They're going through a bad time, but then you get the flashbacks and like see what led to this.
But I feel like this is just the bad stuff, right?
Well, you do see like little flashbacks, but most of the movie is going through the divorce.
Sure.
And it's very bad, yes. But oh my gosh, the performances. I mean, Scarlett Johansson, I've liked her in a lot of stuff, a lot of her early work. Lately, not as much, but I mean, she does give a great performance in this. Adam Driver is great as
she
always.
Plays a black man in this movie. She really loses herself in the role.
I had almost forgotten about the controversy. Thank you for reminding me, Tom. But their performances are great, and they give some really big, you know, throwdown, you know, emotional stuff. Just the two of them on screen together. So saw that. So anyway. Film festival's great. We're only a few days into it. But so I knew that I'm doing a guest podcast tonight after the film festival. So I'm bookending today's all day event with podcasts. And so I knew I had to see Dr. Sleep for today for the next episode. I knew I had to see Midway for the podcast that I'm guesting on. And so I'm like, okay, and I have a film festival movie to see. So there's a lot going on. I said, okay, I'll go see one movie Thursday night. Opening. I don't usually do that, but a late movie to get it done so I have more time for the other stuff. I don't want to see three movies in a day, which I did. So, spoiler, I did. And this is why. So, Joe and movie boyfriend Brian Spath, they were going to a 10:30 p.m. Dr. Sleep. Now, mind you, Dr. Sleep is a 2.5-hour movie.
Yeah.
Movies have.
So it's going to not even start till 11.
Movies have 25 minutes of previews in front of them.
Yep.
So 11 p.m. start for a 2.5-hour movie that's also 20 to 30 minutes from my house to go to bed and wake up and do my other stuff. So I was like, oh, I really want to. I told Joe, but I don't think I can. Then I kept bouncing back and forth. Oh, I might make it. I don't know. So after all the film festival stuff, I'm like, you know what? I better get this one out of the way because I have two more to see tomorrow. I don't want to stack three up. So after the film festival, I get done with Marriage Story, which is a long movie. I get done with that at about 10:30. So I could go home and get home by 11, go to bed, or I could go see Dr. Sleep till 2 in the morning. So I'm like, I don't want to see 3 movies tomorrow. I'll do it. So I drive from working at the film festival downtown,
which is like midtown.
Yeah. To 20 something minutes away to go to Ronnie's,
which is in the county.
Yeah. And I get there at 11:01. The movie started at 10:30. So, I mean, never in my mind did I think this would be a problem. I get there at 11:01, 23, 25 minutes of previews. I'll miss 7 minutes of Dr. Sleep. Whatever, you know,
is
maybe.
The box office even still open at this point?
No.
Surprisingly,
Tom, it's
not.
Because I was like, if the movie starts at 10:30, it's probably one of the last movies of the day.
Right.
Yeah. On a Thursday.
But no,
yeah.
But their kiosks are in the front doors. Like, I mean, you can buy a ticket. You
okay,
don't have
yeah.
to have the box
you don't need
office
a,
open.
You don't need a live person anymore.
I had, on my way there, up on my phone, I had Fandango up to buy the ticket. I get to the doors. Okay, I bought the ticket.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
In the morning. It's a $16 ticket for
yeah,
this movie.
Well, yeah, we bought the... Yeah. We went to the
well,
nice
nighttime.
Did you get a special one with, like, reserved seating and
yeah.
a hand job?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it was Brian.
Big,
oh,
yeah. But big theater, nighttime screening, right? So $16 ticket. I bought it in the morning. So I'm in Marriage Story. You can cancel Fandango up to the start time. It's 10:26. Marriage Story is about to end, but real quick, I pull it up. I'm like, I better cancel this in case I can't make it. I'm glad I did.
Oh, thank God.
I canceled it because I'm like, oh, $16. So I had it pull up my phone as I drove there, and I'm like, okay, I'm ready to press buy when I'm there, make sure I'm actually going to be there, right? I go to buy when I'm in the parking lot, buy it again for $16, and it says, this is no longer available. I'm like, okay, it started. They can't sell you the ticket.
Right.
Fine. I park. I walk up to the doors. Box office is black. Lights are on inside, but like no one's in the main lobby, ticket taker, concession, like no one's there. I see a kid cleaning. I see a manager looking guy in the bar area off to the left. So there's people, but no one's like ready to help me. And every door is locked. So I've just, you know.
So I'm in the theater.
Yeah.
We're getting messages. It's like, hey, I'm on my way. We're like, cool.
Yeah.
We'll see you when you get here. And then all of a sudden I get a message that says, I'm locked out. And I was like, in my head, I was like, of his car? So I think I said, like, of what? And you were like, the theater. Yeah. I go, what do you mean?
Because, I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, I mean, first of all, I didn't want to do this. And I made the jump. I'm already tired. And I decide to go see a movie that's going to start at 11 freaking p.m. and go for 2.5 hours. And I drove 20 something minutes to get there. And then I'm locked out. So I'm so frustrated. There's people in there, but I can't get anyone's attention. The movie has been on literally, like I said, for like 7 minutes, the actual movie. It's
right.
Not like I came in at 12:30 and the movie's been on
but
for an hour.
But also, when it's the last screening of the day, they're probably, and it's, you know,
yep.
And it's 30 minutes past the posted start time, I guess you'd be like, lock them up.
Yeah.
Right, but what if I had bought the ticket and didn't cancel it? I mean, if I had a ticket and the movie started 7 minutes ago.
Maybe they know that. Like, you know what I mean?
No. But, maybe, but it was just a very frustrating yeah. experience because it's like
that's insanely frustrating.
The movie had hardly started.
Yeah.
I get the box office, send the kids home, whatever. But like, if anyone could be there, like I called, no one answered their phones,
right.
You know. And it's like, if someone could at least be there, work. I mean, people are in the theater; people have to be there. And I did see two people walking around, so it's like I'm right there. I drove to see this stupid movie. Just let me in.
Let me in.
So it didn't work. So I was mad. And then I'd drive another 20 something minutes home.
And
I'm just like, this is stupid. So then the next day, I saw back to back to back.
That's a long
Dr.
day.
Dr. Sleep. Yeah, long movies too. Dr. Sleep, Midway, and Waves. All 2 hour plus movies. So
wow.
Yeah. It was a long day.
That's
so
a long
that
day.
Was my story.
My frustrating experience was at Knives Out.
Oh, yeah?
And
are we allowed to talk about it?
Well, I'm not talking about the movie. I'm
just
talking about
the
frustrating experience I had. There was a guy sitting somewhere around us. I'm assuming a guy.
Fair enough.
A person.
I'm going to assume a guy.
Okay. Continue.
And you, people can write letters if they want, but when you hear the rest of the story, you're going to know that I'm right. And I'm assuming for dinner he had some sort of a small woodland creature.
Okay.
Because this dude was floating air biscuits.
Oh.
Like, holy crap. It was insane. And not like one,
like audible or just like,
no,
your,
like
all of a sudden,
like,
your mouth
all of a sudden
open.
You're just like, what died in here?
Like, and you could taste what he had.
Oh my God. Like, your eyes are watering. Oh. Like, I'm like, sir, you need to see a medical professional.
Something died in
something,
your butt.
Something is going on in your lower intestines, and it's crept up to your mid intestines.
You got problems, brother.
And it's ugly. And I mean 5, 6, 7 times.
Oh my God.
Throughout the movie. Like, it wasn't like one and done. Like, it was like, and sometimes they might have been 10, 15 minutes apart. You know what I mean?
So by the time one clears.
So you're thinking we're done. You're thinking you're thinking you're safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You're thinking you're safe. Like, okay, this guy's got to be done. Does anybody want to disagree that it's a guy at this point?
I mean, probably not.
5, 6 times.
In a crowded movie theater?
Yeah. Yeah.
One of my favorite things to do when I was a teenager was, like, I was one of the ones with the car.
Yeah.
So I would, in the wintertime, I would rip ass and then turn the heat up. And roll the windows
and
up
lock.
And wait for somebody to get in the car.
Oh.
Put out recycled air.
Yeah. Oh.
I do. I didn't care. It was, it was your own blend. So it was like,
I think we finally reached the
Baraka threshold.
The low point of tangents when we're reminiscing
of hotboxing
about farts. So
still makes me laugh.
I think.
You know what? I'm trying to think if I did that to Leanne.
I think.
Obviously, before we were, I had
well,
to.
This
be,
is probably
be,
right around the time she wanted
divorce.
She wanted to divorce you, yeah. So
call back to last episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Is that a Dutch oven?
No, a Dutch oven is something completely different.
It's an Italian oven when he does.
Yeah, that's right. A Dutch oven is like under the covers.
Yeah, yeah, well, no, that's what
just
I mean though.
Yeah, like, it's a hot box. Yeah, hot box.
Well,
yeah.
I think at this point we should probably turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his.
Any other Urban Dictionaries you'd like me to explain to you,
Kevin?
How about a Blumpkin?
No, please, no. Yeah, so I do, Tom, and this week at the box office, there were some surprises, and namely, Midway at number one, beating out Dr. Sleep.
Yeah, I did not see that coming at all.
18.
I think you just don't get a lot of movies like this. And
yeah, that's true.
And I bet you it will have legs because it's target. It yes, because it's targeting an older demo,
yeah,
which are typically late to movies.
And so Veterans Day is on Monday.
Yeah, and so I think that like they're gonna keep coming to this movie.
This
for
is
a while.
Roland Emmerich?
Yeah.
It is.
How was it?
Independence Day guy.
This movie makes Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor look like Saving Private Ryan.
As in like,
oh, well, that's not a good thing.
No, no, no. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I'm with you.
It's a shame. I thought the action when it got there, like the end, like the last half was really decent. Like I was in it.
I mean, it definitely has that like, overly CGI and glossy sheen to it.
But by the time you get to the second half, you kind of have adapted and you're like, oh, this is really well framed action. Like it was exciting.
Yeah.
But that first half, I think I fell asleep twice. I mean,
If you
this is
like,
a remake, right?
No.
I mean, people have told this story.
Isn't there another movie called Midway?
But it's not.
This
is not a remake.
I don't know
it's the telling of the Battle of Midway.
Yeah. It's a you know what I mean? It's based on historical events. Yeah. So I don't know you can truly call
but
it
there
a remake.
Was another film called Midway.
I think so.
Right?
Yeah.
Sorry, John Wayne, I think.
I don't know. There's a lot of.
But I don't think this is any kind of a remake.
I don't think.
Okay. I'm with you.
But yeah, it's basically like slightly above average aerial fights interrupted by characters reading to you from a Wikipedia article about World War II.
Gross.
Yeah, it's just, but
like the dialogue was brutal as they're trying to explain to you why World War II is happening.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that it's a very poorly written movie because I mean Roland Emmerich, he knows action.
I think he knew action.
But he can do it. I mean, this shows he can do it. It's effective action, but the dialogue is not great. And Ed Skrein, I could not stand
him.
That
guy sucks.
He does, and he's also British, and he's trying to do a New York accent.
Oof.
Yeah.
It is so over the top. And
like, the accents in this movie are, like, straight out of community theater.
How great
was
Patrick
Wilson? I'm from Yonkers. I mean, it's like, you know what I mean? It's like.
How great was Patrick Wilson?
He's fine. Patrick Wilson's probably the best part of the movie.
He's always fine. Yeah.
But there's
it's
nothing.
Mediocrely
like, he elevates
fine.
The movie. And I'm talking like Woody Harrelson's in this. Dennis Quaid's in this. But like, Patrick Wilson's easily the best
part. Dennis Quaid and Patrick Wilson? Is Kurt Russell in this too?
No.
Oh, damn it.
If only.
It's an all-star-ish cast.
Yeah.
And
there's a lot of. I mean,
yeah,
but like
Mandy
Moore's in it. I mean, there's names in this movie for sure.
But it's like Valentine's Day, and that like you could tell they had each of them for like 10 days,
sure. right.
But it's
they're all like Woody Harrelson and all these the big names are in the same locations for the whole movie pretty much.
Yeah, And they I'm assuming they probably shot a good chunk of it in Hawaii, which is where Woody Harrelson lives.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. That's so funny. That
Woody Harrelson with hair is really weird to see.
I don't like it.
Like real hair, like long hair. I'm not talking about him when he used to have more hair before he shaved, but like
that's a really bad wig.
Even when he had hair, it looked like he didn't have hair.
Right, but I'm talking about he has hair.
Woody from Cheers looked like he was going bald when he was 22.
That's what I mean. So like seeing him with a wig and having actual like thicker hair is just weird.
So there was one. It was 1976. Same title, starring Charlton Heston, Henry Fonda, James Coburn, Glenn Ford, Hal Holbrook, Robert Mitchum, Cliff Robertson. So it's kind of the same premise, it looks like, where it's just let's get all, well, I mean, like,
same,
I mean,
premise, not
same premise, but
the
like the
actors,
same business
the,
model.
The plethora of actors' pictures at the bottom of the poster.
Okay, gotcha. This remake of the events of World War II has an interestingly similar
it's doubled her age in reverse.
Yeah. Well, don't blow it.
They don't know what I'm talking about.
So, I don't know. I'm going to get on the podcast later and it'll be an interesting conversation. I'm guesting on the Feelin' Film podcast with a friend of the show, Aaron White, and he's a great guy and I'm excited to talk to him. He's a veteran. So this movie,
that's the problem with movies like this. When they don't make them well, they're like challenging you.
That is always
like
my question.
Why do you hate America?
Yeah, right.
And I know he really enjoyed it and it'll be an interesting conversation because it's important.
So I've always wanted to ask that question: is like people who served, when they see a garbage military movie, like does that piss them off?
Well, they
or is it
don't
just
see it as garbage? That's the problem. Is that when you have rose-colored glasses on, you can make things that aren't good. And I'm not talking about deep-fried tacos. I mean, you don't see the flaws. You want to see it. You're excited. You're more interested in the subject matter.
Sure.
So your brain just goes. This is not garbage.
Right.
So,
and it's a very rah-rah movie. And, you know, if that's your take on military and World War II, then why wouldn't it be?
I mean, that's of the wars you can talk about, that's the one.
But you don't get a lot of that.
Yeah.
And so, you also have a demo that's kind of starved for that.
Sure.
I think it's similar to Christian movies in that regard. And there's probably a lot of crossover
in
those two demos. But, you know, that they don't, you know, there aren't a lot of Christian movies, so when they do get them,
they
even if they're
behind it
flawed, like they're gonna roll with it because it's that or nothing.
And they're also
it's Passion of the Christ.
It's the same. I mean, honestly, it's similar to how nerds used to be with superhero movies.
Wait, we get another Superman movie?
Yeah,
that Captain America movie was really good.
Right.
Well, it was really good.
No, we mean
no. I know.
Yeah,
with J.D. Salinger's kid, with the rubber ears on the side of his costume.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Captain America's going around beating up phonies.
So anyway, but number one, though, I mean, it made money and I agree it's gonna have legs. So but this is a slow time of the year, so number one with 18 million,
yeah,
and I'm guessing this movie had a budget on it, so it's
I don't know how it couldn't just judging by those trailers.
But the actors, and it's a big war movie,
for sure.
Right, so I'm looking to see, you know, we've talked about that Box Office Mojo was purchased by IMDb, so we don't have all the data that we used to in the same places, so I don't know if Wikipedia, I think Tom's looking it up, has a budget, but
trying, but
18, I mean, this
try
like
plugging in Midway to Wikipedia.
Oh yeah, good luck.
Yeah.
Midway 2019, you gotta do the year.
I did Midway Film, but they didn't do anything.
So, but it's not like with this movie they made 18 million and they're like, hooray, it's a win. Like, they've
ta-da!
Got a ways to go if they want to make profit.
You know what, they made this movie for $100 million,
which is a very small
budget.
That's
pretty small.
When you see how much, I mean, there are a lot of effects in this movie.
Yeah, for sure.
So, I got to say, I'm pretty impressed to see that this movie was made for $100 million.
Hats off to them. It is a big budget blockbuster
It looks like a $200 million movie.
It looks
especially
like a Michael Bay.
Considering how many effect shots are in this movie, I feel like their technology is maybe like just like a generation behind what they're using now.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it doesn't look like Dunkirk, which was boring, but like looked good.
They're using like Adobe After Effects, like the version before, so they still have it,
right,
but they don't have to pay for it or whatever. Yeah.
But and then you throw in all those actors.
Right.
So a lot of people, even not the big names, but there are a lot of naval crew members and people on screen at the same time. I mean, it's a lot going on, which means you have to, you know, feed them and you got to pay for, you know, whatever, housing
clothe
people
them and
yeah
bathe them, and
it's a lot of people, it's not just CG.
And interestingly enough, it's largely bankrolled by Chinese investors.
Are you serious?
It was interesting, there were two production companies that were foreign, and I'm thinking this is a big American rah-rah and this is about us winning the day, and I was interested to see that
Chinese or Japanese
Chinese.
Well,
yeah, I mean, maybe that's why, because it's like, they're like, oh, Chinese people will love to watch a movie where the Japanese get their ass handed to them.
That's exactly. But also, what I was thinking.
And also at this point, I think, hadn't the Japanese taken over China? Like, I mean, they touched upon
taken
it.
Over, but
haven't they invaded? I mean, weren't they like controlling? They address it in the movie at one point. They talk about that they hold forces in China or something. So I wonder if the Chinese want to tell this side of the story and how the Japanese were
bad,
scooted out of there. Yeah, yes, exactly. Correct. But I was surprised to see that. I'm thinking this is a totally American type of production. Yeah. So, but
and it was filmed in Hawaii.
Okay, yeah, makes sense.
Nice.
So Woody Harrelson and walked outside his back door.
Those are two very different parts of the country.
Yeah. So $18 million on that one. We'll see how that continues to do in week two. But the movie of the day, Dr. Sleep, which we'll talk about next episode, $13.5 million.
What happened?
So, I mean, I don't know. I think the week after Halloween for an iconic horror franchise sequel, I think it's a weird time.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think you're wrong.
That's a very weird thing. Like, I'm watching it, and I was thinking to myself, I don't know about you this is a perfect Halloween movie.
It would have done amazing business at Halloween time.
I also wonder how many, I don't know that The Shining really resonates in the modern day consciousness.
Sure. Outside of film nerds.
That could be true. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah, I agree. You don't hear that many people talking, especially the younger audiences.
Right.
Are they clamoring for a Shining sequel? The film nerds, of course, know Kubrick and they're jonesing for it. But you're right, mainstream audiences.
I don't know. I kind of feel like with the current like resurgence of Stephen King, I felt like that this is The Shining is kind of one of those top three adaptations. I use adaptations very loosely with the Shining movie, but I mean, I feel like when you look at them, I feel that it has to be in the maybe even top two. Maybe. I mean, I feel like maybe Misery and The Shining.
Shawshank.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I put Shawshank at number one.
That's fair.
Also don't forget Stand By Me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you don't think of them because they're horror.
Yeah, I think of those as like different.
Green Mile,
yeah.
Sure.
Dolores Claiborne. No, it's a horror movie. Mm-hmm.
But definitely The Shining is definitely one of the like prestige film versions of Stephen King. Yeah. It's funny, on Vudu they always have these Stephen King like 8-packs for $6.
It's never included.
And whenever I look at them, I'm just like, I don't want to see any of these movies.
Oh, I get Rose like, Red, and
like
I
these
get,
movies are all
The Stand.
Bad. Like none of these.
There's
movies
a lot
are
of there's more. It was probably more bad than good. Honestly,
yeah.
He's like, made a lot. There have been a lot of adaptations,
Adaptations of the good stuff. I mean, like the 1997. Miniseries of The Shining.
Yeah.
And then there was a remake of Salem's Lot, which is not, I mean, starring Rob Lowe, which that's the one I want. Like if they do anything else, that's the one.
That, you know, that's, I think when we talk about remakes and reboots and all this, those are the ones they should be making, the bad movies that have a good premise or a good book that they adapted from.
Right.
Like,
sure.
If you
want to do it
go do it right. Exactly. Because it's people are, they do remakes, I think, for the wrong reason. They do it because they think they have built in audience nostalgia. And I get all that. But if you have a book or something, a play, it doesn't matter what it is, but if you have something that's a great idea and could make an amazing movie and you do it right, you could end up making so much more, and you're gonna appeal to mass audiences, not just super fans the original thing,
which is Salem's Lot is even the miniseries is insanely good.
Yeah,
I like that a lot. But that's like the whole Dark Tower fiasco.
Yeah,
you know, like when they're taking bits and we're gonna do the third book, but we're gonna take bits and pieces from over here. It's like, you know, you had something,
right?
And you mucked it
up. They did. It was a shame. So we'll get into that one next episode. But going through the list here, Last Christmas, the new Paul Feig movie, $11.9 million. And congrats to our friend Colby Mack for getting a shout out. Paul Feig retweeted him and told him thanks for the kind words and retweeted his review. So that was cool. Number four.
I did not realize that was a Paul Feig
movie.
I know,
right? Because it doesn't seem like a Bridesmaid, Melissa McCarthy comedy type movie. Like,
but his last movie was not like that either. A Simple Favor.
Yeah.
Oh, that was Paul Feig?
Yeah.
I had forgotten. Okay, well, fair enough then. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm still thinking of like Bridesmaids and Spy and you know,
the comedies.
Yeah,
the,
and he does better ones than the like, Melissa McCarthy and her husband.
Absolutely.
Types, but,
yeah.
I didn't realize at all that it was Paul Feig.
Yeah.
It does not look like
now
it.
Now I want to see it.
I know. Well, I think I'm going to try to sneak it in today sometime. But anyway, $11.9 million on that one. Number four, Playing with Fire. Oh, it almost makes me sick. It's that John Cena firefighter kids.
Oh.
I'm so ready for that. the John Cena experiment to be over. He's not The Rock.
No, he's not.
He's nowhere as talented, charismatic, good of an actor. It's just they're trying to make another Rock,
right?
And it's unfortunate for all of us. I can't stand him. I just so. And again, then those sisters, was it, or that he was the drug dealer?
Oh, right? Yeah, it was sisters.
Wasn't it sisters? Because he was in the Amy Schumer movie,
right,
as the boyfriend that was gay, and then he was in Sisters as the drug dealer. Those bit parts, I just think
Sisters.
Sisters is the Tina Fey.
They throw a party.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he shows up and is like going through his list of drugs. Whatever. Like, he's funny, and I think again that those roles were so funny because he's so
right.
Like, and it's like a juxtaposition.
Cockblockers was okay.
Yeah, I like Cockblockers.
That was way better than I expected it to be. But I think the other Leslie Mann and Ike Barinholtz definitely carry. But he was okay. But anyway, I'm kind of done with that. But that made $11.3 million. So I guess we're not going to see it stop anytime soon. It's making as much almost.
And he's in Suicide
as,
Squad.
He's in everything. He's in Fast 9. He's in everything. You know, he joins the Fast and Furious.
Oh, you're right. He is. Yeah,
he's in everything. They're going to make it happen one way or another. Number 5, Terminator Dark Fate, with $10 million, the movie from last week, 66% drop. Joker with another $9 million. Maleficent in number 7 with $8.5 million. Week 4, a 35% drop, so that one's still hanging on as well, but hasn't even broken $100 million domestic. Harriet, we talked about that. That was a movie that released last week that we hadn't seen, but another $7 million, 7.2 is a 38% drop, so it's at $23 million domestic in week 2. Zombieland Double Tap at number 9 with 4.3. That's a 42% drop, and it's at $66 million domestic. And rounding out the top 10 is The Addams Family, still sticking around.
Oh, good for it.
After its October release where it belongs.
Yeah, no kidding.
4.1 is a 51% drop, and it is at $91.3 million domestic.
I was going to point out in the limited release, just barely not beating out Addams Family. To take spot number 10 was Jojo Rabbit at $4 million.
So still sticking around, still plugging along. That's one of those ones that I'm really looking.
Well, it's only on 800 screens. Adam's Family's on 2,600. Jojo Rabbit made 100,000 less with a third of the screen.
That's
so
pretty...
Jojo Rabbit, did you see it, Tom?
I did.
Okay,
it's good.
I really want to see it. I've heard nothing but good things about it. It's got a great cast, and it's Taika Waititi. So I'm excited to see it.
And while we're slumming it in the limited release, I also think it's interesting to point out that Downton Abbey is at $95 million.
Did it come back?
No, it's just
plugging along.
It's just plugging along, and probably, you know, art houses and
people are having backyard projector parties.
It's on like 475 screen. It's showing in nursing homes,
and that's like the end of. Is that supposed to be like the end of their show?
Not at $95 million. It's not,
but it's a continuation of.
Yeah.
Oh, it is.
You know, the show was over, and then.
Well, I thought of it as like the Deadwood movie, where it's like we know we didn't finish at season 3, so here's the movie to finish the show.
Now, I think the show, I mean, it was a big hit, so it got to finish on its own terms.
Oh, okay.
But then they were
like, they want more.
Let's throw it in theaters and see how it does. So I think you'll be getting a Downton Abbey 2.
Well,
oh boy.
Downton Abbey 2. I love the idea of a TV series continuation, but then having a sequel number. Like
Sex and the City 2.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah,
okay,
that's true.
I'll give you that. It's
Star Trek 2.
Addams Family 2.
Well, okay. So while we're in limited release then, just the very last thing, we have to mention Parasite. This is a movie that will not go away anytime soon, and I don't say that as a bad thing, but I mean, people are calling it, it's a foreign language film, but they're talking about an Oscar contender for Best Picture.
Really?
With a good chance to win. Yes, this movie made another $2.4 million, which is a 5% drop, and it's limited release. $2.4 million. It's only on 603 screens, and it is up to $11.1 million domestic. And so it is the highest grossing foreign film of the year. And it's in limited release.
Interesting.
So
that's awesome.
That
dude is
Bong Joon.
Yeah, he's a special. Ho. Like that's a special talent. That guy. Like the stuff that he does just has a different.
Yeah.
Feel like
Monster
I don't even know how
was
to.
The one I couldn't think of.
We were thinking
or
Snowpiercer.
No, Mother.
Oh, no, we saw Mother.
No, Mother was Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah. It's a different one, though.
Oh, okay. But, I mean, if you've never seen Snowpiercer, I cannot recommend that movie enough. Like, that is it's a comic book movie, but not in the traditional sense.
Yeah.
Like, it's based on a graphic novel. It's a great movie. Yeah. Chris Evans not being Captain America. It's interesting. Like, I love him as Captain America. Like, if he would just not be selfish and want to further his career in other areas... And he just wanted to be Captain America. I know. How dare he want to explore creative options? But if he could go, like, if that dude could be Captain America forever, I'd be all right with it. And he, it's always interesting to see him in like non Captain America roles.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like Knives Out, we can't talk about it, but it's not Captain America.
Right.
Yeah.
But so his first film, which most people haven't seen, is Barking Dogs Never Bite in 2000. But then he did Memories of Murder in 2003.
Oh, wait, that was a blockbuster movie. The Barking Dogs one.
It could have been domestic release.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then he did The Host in 2006.
That was a great movie.
He did Tokyo in 2008. He did Mother in 2009. Snowpiercer was 2013. Okja, remember that?
Yeah.
2017. And then now Parasite in 2019. So, I mean...
Wasn't Okja like a kid's movie?
It was a... It could have been. It was about like this big... It was like this big dog looking creature or whatever. But yeah, so I mean, the guy's got some great films, and this thing is getting ready to roll out wider. If you're in St. Louis this week, when you're listening to this episode, it's getting its St. Louis release, which means if it's coming out here, it's going to be open at a lot of other places.
We're low man.
Yeah. We get the little bit later releases. So
just to put it in perspective, you can still buy Swatch guards in St. Louis. That's how far behind the times we are.
And they still work.
Yes.
Yeah.
So you're going to want to go see this movie, and people are going to be talking about this through award season. So Parasite doing quite well, and I'm sure we'll continue to do so.
There you go.
So I guess that's it for this one. Let's go around the table and everyone can say where to find them.
This is Joe. You can follow me on the Twitter at Joey Butts, BUTTS21. I've got a sick kid, so I'm dealing with other stuff.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
Long, awkward pause. This is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can find the show online at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers. While you're there, like the page, join the group. Also, while you're in front of your podcast delivery device, be sure and subscribe so you never miss an episode. And then, of course, check us out on Patreon at Patreon.com/Real Spoilers. $5 a month. You get all sorts of bonus content and you get to help us out. That's not so bad.
No.
So that's it for this one. Coming up on the next one, we will tackle Dr. Sleep. Until then, you've been warned.
You're running away from something? From myself, I guess.
New magic. Like me.
I always called it The Shining.
World's a hungry place. And they'll eat what chance.
Dr. Sleep, rated R.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.